You'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 10 through verse 13 as we begin this series of messages on the Christ of the 20th century. Our one verse for the entire series will be Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we shall read our text for the message tonight in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10 after we bow for a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, into Thy presence and before Thee we are now assembled. We are unworthy of this privilege. We're undeserving of that which Thou hast given us. Oh, how we thank Thee for Thy blessed word. We pray that we might embrace it tonight in our hearts. For we know that when Thou dost measure us, that Thou dost not measure our intellect, but Thou dost measure the depths of our heart. Help us to see ourselves tonight as Thou dost see us. And may we see Christ in a new light, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we would ask, most especially, should there be those here who have never tasted the heavenly gift, who have never anchored their soul in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have never placed their hand within the nail-scarred hand, oh, that they might do these things tonight. And open up the door of their heart and let Jesus Christ come in and heal them of their sin. Because we pray and ask it in His name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 12, the middle of the verse. They that be whole, or well, or sound in body, or mind, or soul, need not a doctor, but those that are sick. A young girl stood up in testimony at a commencement exercise of a Bible Institute in Canada and spoke some words that would never be forgotten by those who heard them. Here is what she said. I was found when I was 6 days old in a basket on a doorstep in the city of Leeds, England. But 10 years ago, I was found by the Lord Jesus Christ on the skid row of our city. And this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. The ministry of Jesus Christ is a multiple ministry. It would take us a long time to begin to mention or even to touch the hem of the garment or scratch the surface of the various areas of ministry in which Jesus was engaged in the days of His incarnation and in this age in the person of the Holy Spirit. But I think none to be more beautiful, more wonderful, more comforting than the ministry of Jesus as the great physician. For you see, sickness is a common denominator among all men. And at one time or another, each of us experiences some kind of disease or sickness. Our text from Matthew chapter 9 vividly portrays Jesus Christ as the divine doctor on a mission of mercy. I want us to observe him at work as the great physician. The first in our series of messages, Christ, the great physician. Three things, or three areas in particular, that will demand our attention. First of all, the fact that we are living in a sick world. In the second place, we have tried in vain to cure the world of all its ills. And third and finally, we ought to make a trip to see the great physician. We are living in 1967 in a sick world. The truth of this statement is not hidden. It is very evident even to the most casual observer. Look, if you will, at the various systems of our so-called American way of life. What shall I say in the beginning about our political system, other than the fact that our political system is very sick? Such words as corruption, greed, graft, and selfishness help to characterize the condition of our system of politics in these United States. Unscrupulous politicians are selling our freedom for blood money while we're gathered on this pew to worship God. Someone said to me this week, I feel that the war in Vietnam is only a political football, and I was inclined to agree. While our men are dying slowly, our politicians are framing something more for another vote and another dollar and another day of prestige. I believe this to be true. And I'm not a politician, and I'm certainly not anything well-versed in military affairs. But I believe this: if we had the one-eyed general from the Israeli country, that we would have already ended the war in Vietnam. We've got the materials. We've got the money, we've got the men. Why don't we get it done? Perhaps you can answer that question as well as I can. But one wonders, with a sick political machine, if indeed we shall ever recover from the state of sickness that our government is in tonight. Our educational system is sick. We have left the ancient trademarks of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and are in the 20th century traveling down the road of progressive education away from God. Our social system is very sick tonight. When I turn on the television and I see so-called musicians who are acting like savages and looking like idiots with deranged minds, I know that our society is very sick. Amen. When I turn on the radio and hear what supposedly is music, what is called music, they say it's music, they call themselves musicians, and the entertainment that they're putting out on the American public tonight is an insult to our intelligence. And the problem is, we are sitting by and soaking it up. Society is sick. And they are aiming the greater part of it at the teenage population. And I read just today that there are 1 million television sets among teenagers in America tonight, 20 million radios, and 10 million record players. And all of them are good if they produce the right kind of thing. When I read J. Edgar Hoover's report that a major crime is committed somewhere in the United States every 10 seconds, I know that we are socially sick. when I know tonight that over $20 billions are spent annually on crime, we are socially sick. When there are more barmaids than there are college students in a country is sick. When 65% of the population of a nation indulges in intoxicating beverages, the nation is sick. When over 1 million babies are born out of wedlock every year, the nation is socially sick. When 35% of all teenage brides are with child on their wedding day, the nation is sick. I know some will say, well, the preacher gets all up in the air about it. It's about time that somebody got up in the air. My God, tonight, we are a sick nation. And wherever God builds one temple, the devil builds three. And we have become so calloused and so unconcerned and so immovable about these things. I pray God would put something in us tonight and stir our hearts up. We need to go see the great physician socially. Venereal diseases, juvenile delinquency, crime on every hand. One out of every four marriages going to the divorce courts. This is a socially sick nation. And what shall I say about our religious system? The sickest of all. The move on foot to make one great worldwide religious organization in one church. And to the untrained mind and untrained ear, that sounds pretty good. But when such a monster is created, I believe the Antichrist is ready to take it over. Across America and around the world tonight, our pulpits are filled with men of the cloth who are denying the verbal inspiration of God's word. They're making a joke out of it. They are denying the virgin birth of the Son of God. They are denying the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus. They are denying and laughing at and making fun of anyone who says that Christ will come visibly and bodily to reign upon this earth. That's where our religious system is tonight, rotten to the core. It is very, very sick. Basically, there are three kinds of sicknesses: physical, mental, and spiritual, or moral. The evidence of physical sickness is known to everyone. Every hospital in our city is continuously crowded. Sickness, as I noted a while ago, is a common denominator of life. I think this is seen in the fact that last year, we as Americans spent over $4 billion on medicine. That's to say nothing of $25 billion that were spent on quack medicines and quack doctors. I'm talking about $4 billion through legitimate channels of medicine. The fact that mental sicknesses abroad in the land tonight can be seen when we know and realize that last year over 10 billion capsules of barbiturates were distributed in the United States. And the so-called new religion, LSD, the drug that's carrying people out, some of them never to return, is one more evidence of our sick mental society. Did you know that half of the hospital beds in the United States tonight are occupied by mental patients? I don't mean mental hospitals. I mean all of the hospitals. Did you know that one out of every 10 Americans will spend some time in his or her life in a mental hospital? Are you aware of the fact that one out of every 5 American families will need, whether or not they employ, will need the services of a psychiatrist this year? Mental sickness is abroad in our land. and spiritual sickness. We are suffering from a great malady that the great physician calls S-I-N, sin. Sin that began in the Garden of Eden. Sin that has continued down through the centuries. Sin that never can be fully abolished until Jesus Christ himself abolishes it. What kind of disease is sin? It is an hereditary disease. The psalmist speaks to this in Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul puts it like this in Romans 5:12. Wherefore by one man sin entered, and death by sin. So then death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I thrilled tonight when the little girls quoted Romans 3:22 and 23. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is not only an hereditary disease, but it is a very disabling disease. Let's get back for a moment in the physical realm. And here's a man who is sick, and he can't work, and he can't perform his functions in society and in his home and in the world because he's sick. And I would say to you tonight, if we are spiritually sick, we cannot perform our functions and our duties and our responsibilities before God. And Paul warns the Corinthian Christians and says, for this reason, some of you are sickly and some are dead. Spiritual sickness is a disabling disease. And in the third place, it is a very deadly disease. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We are living in a sick, sick, sick world. And in the second area of thinking, we have tried in vain to cure the ills of this world. Man is a strange creature indeed. He tries to make perfect products with imperfect materials. It's trying to make a square out of circular materials. It just doesn't come out that way. And this brings up the old idea of the environmental theory. That if you put a man in the proper environment, he'll be all right. He'll be good. Create a good environment and man will be all right. Sam Pete Jones used to say, go out to the hog pen, get you a hog, wash him up, put a ribbon around his neck, spray him with the perfumes from Arabia, put him in the parlor, and he's still a hog because his nature hasn't been changed. You can take a man off of Skid Row tonight, give him a bath, give him a suit of clothes, give him a hot meal, put him in the upper crust of society. You know what he'll do? He'll go right back down to Skid Row unless he has a change of heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and even in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have a lot of people, I fear, tonight who are crowding church rolls all over America and around the world who have only a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a heart matter. Why, Adam was put in a perfect environment. Everything was beautiful. Everything was innocent. Everything was absolutely perfect. And he disobeyed God. Man is a strange creature. And since the days of Adam, men have been trying unsuccessfully and in vain to cure their ills. Let us observe some of the ways that men have tried. First, man has tried to legislate righteousness through the creation of good government. Now, government is good. I mean by that we ought to have government. I wouldn't want to live in a land where anarchy reigned and nobody was in charge and there was no government and no law. I wouldn't want to live in a land like that. There are some people tonight, if they were the law unto themselves, would drive down Wilbarger Street at 100 miles an hour. And they'd go to the neighbor's house and steal everything he's got. I'm glad we have law and government because it's ordained of God. It's necessary. It's needful. It is a must for human nature. But government cannot eradicate sin. And all of the laws that Congress has ever enacted since the first one has no power. All of them together have no power to remove one stain of sin. For you see, righteousness is not the result of man's law. Righteousness is the result of the enactment of God's divine law. And it's spelled out in His Word. The Supreme Court and Congress and our city fathers and our state government and our county commissioners and all of these together are as helpless as a baby to remove sin. We cannot legislate righteousness, but man has tried and man has failed. Man has tried to cure sin through education. Since when did God start giving a test, an examination, to determine whether or not a man was a fit subject for heaven? I believe we ought to get all the education that we can. And as someone has put it, can all we get, if it's the right kind. But it doesn't matter how smart and how educated and how learned and how many degrees a man has tonight. None of these things matter. Because, as I said earlier, when God measures us, He doesn't measure the head. He puts the tape around the heart. And man cannot educate his fellow man and expect to produce out of him a fit subject for heaven. There must be a change of his heart, a regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man has tried education, and man is looking through his degrees tonight. An utter failure. The more we know, the more we have learned, the farther from God we have gone. The wise Solomon said, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Man has tried to purchase salvation with money. You know the familiar story in the book of Acts, how Simon the sorcerer came after Peter, and when he saw Peter laying on hands and the Holy Spirit coming upon believers, he said, "Say, let me purchase some of that." And Peter said, "Let your money perish with you, mister. God's condemnation, God's curse, God's judgment is upon you because you have thought that God's power could be purchased with money. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." We don't have the price of it. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Some have thought that they could cure the ills of the world and erase and eradicate sin, and tried to come into the right relationship with God through church membership and some kind of religious experience. There is no salvation in a religious experience unless it is a personal encounter with God's Holy Spirit that Jesus called the new birth. There is no salvation in those baptismal waters. There is no salvation around that table. Both of these are only symbols of transactions that have already taken place. The primaries quoted it tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not through the church, not through the baptismal waters, not through the table of communion, not through reformation, not through turning over a new leaf, not through a religious experience, but by a new birth. You must be born again. Men have tried all of these in vain to bring salvation. And the poet put it this way, in vain we seek for peace with God by methods of our own. Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. It's all of grace and nothing of self. And that brings me to my final point. Not only can I tell you tonight that we are living in a sick world, not only would I remind you that we have tried in vain to cure the sickness of this world, but I recommend to you tonight that we go and see the great physician. When we need legal advice, we go to the lawyer. When we need financial advice, we go to the banker. When we need medical advice, we go to the doctor. I hasten to tell you that when you need spiritual advice, you best go see Jesus. It is not the well that need a physician, it is the sick. And Jesus sat and ate among the sinners, and the Pharisees accused him. But I recommend him to you tonight. He is qualified. He's experienced. And he's compassionate. Let the great physician diagnose your case. He has just the medicine that you need. If you need salvation, he will prescribe his blood. Not by blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he hath entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If you need assurance, he will prescribe his word. John writes, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you need guidance, he will prescribe his Spirit. He said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said unto you. Again, he said in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. The great physician is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. If indeed you need restoration of your fellowship with God tonight, I beg you do as the prodigal son did, who when he recognized his helplessness and his dire condition and his severe needs, said to himself, I know what I'll do. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I would recommend tonight, if you need the restoration of your fellowship, that you do what David did. After he had committed the twin sins of murder and adultery, in Psalm 51, David cried, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and I shall tell sinners of the error of their way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I tell you tonight that there's no sin that he cannot forgive. There's no mistake that he cannot erase. There's no burden that he cannot lift. The great physician is here. Take your case to him. He's got the medicine that you need while we pray.